Good morning. This morning, I got to thinking about Easter and one of my favorite holidays, and I think a lot of the Christians, that's our favorite holiday. Just being appreciative and knowing what it signifies is, it's just amazing, really. But yesterday, I was faced with a situation that I didn't want to appear weak in. And in past, those situations kind of made me feel weak, and maybe I responded as a weak person. And I had been praying about this situation, that I would be able to go into it clear-minded and knowing how to handle it. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me about, he just said this to me: Jesus never showed weakness. And then I began to think about that and what that meant, and just kind of going through his life and what we've read in the Bible and what we know. And I began to, it just kind of unfolded in my mind how he never showed weakness. So many people at different times was coming against him, was putting him down, criticizing him, different things, doubting him. He stood before mighty men, full of pride, and he never showed weakness. By him not showing weakness, he infuriated the priests and the Pharisees and all the different people, you know, the kings. They were used to people showing fear to them. They were the great leaders and those who dictate everyone's lives. However, Jesus was not afraid of them. He was not changed by their words. And I believe these kings, you know, was so insulted by that. Do you not know who I am? And who do you think you are to say that you are better and wiser and that you are the Son of God before us mighty men? And so I began to think about how Jesus never showed weakness. And that is why I believe they beat his body down before they crucified him. They could have crucified him, but that would not have fulfilled the true lusts of their heart toward Jesus. Their true desire was to see him weak. And because they were never able to get him to be weak and to waver and to be weakened in his theology and his beliefs, I believe they beat his body to fulfill their desire to see him weak. And ultimately, that's all they were able to do, is to beat the body. And we know that God could have stopped that very moment. But he didn't, and he didn't because the fulfillment was the bigger picture. And sometimes God doesn't stop things because he's got a bigger picture. And so, you know, I just could visualize as Easter's coming and what the Holy Spirit placed in my thoughts. And I just thought, you know, they could never weaken him. And he was never weak. He was never wishy-washy. He never backed up on what he believed and felt. He never gave them power over him. And so they beat his body. The only thing they could beat was his body. wasn't enough for them to kill him, and it wasn't enough, you know, for the crucifixion in the way that he died. But they wanted to make sure that they humiliated him and mocked him and shamed him before they put him on that cross. And I apply that to my life as I grow and I look for areas that I need to grow in. I am definitely moved by what the Holy Spirit gave me yesterday. I tend to be an emotional type person. When I deal with the secular world, I feel like I have to harden up to deal with them because of the way that they are and the way that I am. Because I am a heartfelt person and I tend to want to go at things from the heart and from a Jesus perspective. And of course, that doesn't work in the world. We look at the human perspective of it and we say, harden up. You know, let the world hardens you and it makes you callous and maybe bitter over the years. But that's not what God's talking about here. That's not what the Holy Spirit's saying to me. Jesus did not have to become hard to not show weakness. Jesus did not have to become put down and degraded so much that he eventually learned how to look strong so that he could maintain some sort of dignity. And I just began to think about what it meant to be strong in different situations that come at us. And I thought about how Jesus was, right before his crucifixion, how they had him in, I guess, Pilate's hall, and he was standing before them, and they were asking him questions. And a lot of the questions, early on, he wasn't answering. He just stood there quiet. Said nothing. From a spiritual perspective, it is a very strong thing to do. In a human nature, we tend to want to justify ourselves or explain ourselves or get back some sense of dignity by telling our side of the story. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't become a prey to the vultures that were trying to eat at his soul. He stood quiet. He knew the plan. He knew their hearts. There was nothing he didn't know, but he stayed silent. And I think it is not weak to be silent at times. Every situation can be different, but there are some situations where it is silence is your strength. And I think how later on in scriptures, they eventually got Jesus to talk, but when he talked, he didn't say what they wanted to hear. They weren't going to be happy until they heard what they wanted to hear. Jesus wasn't going to give them that. But when he did say something, he said very little. I think it was a couple words. And he stood his ground in those couple of words. Very little did he say at that moment. They looked for him to say, no, I didn't do anything bad. No, I'm a good man. I don't, you know, they looked for them to beg to them. Jesus refused. He stood his ground. And we live in a time now where, and I know we've probably heard this generations back, but they have no clue. The world of social media has transformed reality for humanity. We live in a time now where everybody wants to fit in.
Nobody wants to be confrontational. Or even, and it doesn't have to be confrontational, but that's how the world perceives it. If you stand up for something, you're confrontational. We live in a time where we need a lot of likes, a lot of approval, and a lot of validation. And what's happening is a lot of us have seen and been a part of validating others so that we can be validated possibly. It's a give and take, but it's a mess is what it is. And so going against the grain, if you will, isn't something 2019 comprehends. Standing up for right things and biblical things at this point is breaking a lot of people. Their backs are breaking. And so I think about Jesus, his strength, how he never looked weak, and how that's what I want. I don't want to look weak. I don't want to be weak. I mean, not just look, it's about being. I don't want to be weak. And Jesus was never weak. He physically got tired, but he never got tired doing the right thing. He believed in himself and knew that he made the right decisions. And that's what I want. I want to believe in myself and know going into everything that no matter what may be questioned or be thrown at me, I can fully know that I did what was right. And in knowing that I am standing on truth, that I can go into these situations strong and not weak. But even though they were able to break his body, as soon as that ended, the sky roared in anger and enraged. And I believe people at that moment were possibly saved. I believe people at that moment believed. The scripture says that people said that this was the King of Kings and the King of the Jews and the Son of God. At that moment, they began to say that stuff because then they realized it. And some were saved that day. I believe some were so prideful and full of themselves that they were too busy loving what they just did, enjoying the scene they just seen, and the devastation because they were fulfilling their lust, that they didn't even blink an eye to have a changed heart. And I believe there were some there who were moved by it and believed at the moment. However, as time passed and the memories of that miracle day, miraculous day, begins to fade from their memories and they live in a future time, I believe they stopped believing. I believe they started questioning and just faded from that whole experience. And probably got used to the idea that, no, that's silly. That couldn't have been the Son of God. I don't know what I was thinking. Jeez, that sort of mentality. But Jesus, but God knew the bigger picture, so God allowed that to happen. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot of the history behind the other men who was also nailed to the cross that day, the thieves that were on each side of him. But if I remember, I don't believe they were beaten like Jesus was. I don't believe that the guilty was persecuted. And we definitely live in a time where, and I watch this on Facebook a lot, where somebody will post some bad behaviors, things that should be called out as ignorant or foolish. There it is, foolish. And instead, you'll get a group of people that'll back them up and say, "You be you, girl. Good for you." And they'll just back them up. And I'm like, oh, and I see that so much. And that keeps enabling that behavior. It keeps supporting bad behavior. And so therefore the person keeps doing ridiculous things, posting ridiculous things, and they're always going to have that support group to back them up. It's when people get isolated that they really face things. It's when you're all alone is when you start to lose comfort. And in losing comfort, you find that you need God. I know a person that I was just talking to someone about yesterday. We have a person that we know that is desperate for deliverance. But instead of finding deliverance, what happens is the depression comes in, which is basically a gift, because that depression causes them to humble down before God and need help. But instead of staying there and figuring things out, they run to something to fill the void so they don't have to feel the reality. And so the world does this all the time. We see this on a constant basis. People using alcohol, using drugs, using relationships, using sex, using money, you know, to fill voids of unhappiness or of things that they don't want to face in their own heart. And as long as we use something to not face it, we continue to have the problem. And so that's like, you know, with the person that, you know, sits there and posts everything that's ridiculous, but at the same time continues doing it and people keep backing them up. If they didn't have anybody back them up and no support, I'm not saying they all have to come against them. Be like me, say nothing. But those who back them up and justify them so that they have somebody in their court when they do stupid stuff, they are causing that person, well, if that person was able to not, if they did not have that support, it would start to fade because they wouldn't like the feeling of being alone. They wouldn't like that lack of support. But because they get the support, now they're continuing on with it and getting a lot of attention for it. I'm going to need to end this broadcast, but I wanted to share with you a few of my ideas, and it's certainly the whole story about the weakness and the strength of Jesus and the lack of weakness and how we can also, you know, grow in that. And I think there probably is a good lesson that on teaching how to become strong in all situations and not be weak at our adversities and adversaries. Until we meet again, be blessed, and I hope you grow, and I hope this was a blessing to you.